We are blessed to know that God is still God, and that's what also gives us reassurance that we can do what He's called us to do. Amen. That's what the message today is going to be about. You know, there's a lot of questions in Christendom about, you know, I kind of ended the last service with the idea that like 80% of what gets done in the church is done by about 20% of the people or less. And so, you know, there's a lot of discussions among church leaders of why is that? And there could be a lot of different reasons, and we can't necessarily predict them all. You know, we really can't. But, you know, I mean, like, the thing you got to keep in mind is the pastor is considered overseer of the church, and there's a thing that this church is called to do, okay? God planted us here with a purpose in mind. We belong to Him. We've been talking about the church for months now, weeks, a couple of months. And the church is His, and it's His instrument to do something with, okay? Sometimes we can get to thinking it's just so that we can come and meet, and then we can go away feeling better. And sometimes I've had people that have said, you know, that's their main purpose to be involved in a church is so that they can come and meet and feel better. And hopefully you do feel better after you've been in a worship service. I mean, it's supposed to strengthen us up. But I want you to understand, I don't think that's God's end goal for us. It isn't just so we can feel better. He's got a purpose for the church, and He left it in the Great Commission, which we discussed a little bit with the children. His command is our first priority. It needs to be as Christians. And so what was His command whenever He left the earth? He made it pretty clear in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Can anybody tell me the Great Commission? You can look it up if you want. Okay. He says, go therefore, okay, He said, all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth, okay, so Jesus has the authority, right? All of it. Can I get an amen? Amen. You guys got to help me along here because I'm needing some help. All right. And then He says, go therefore, all right? So we are to go, okay, we got that part, and it's even as we go, okay? So like you go every day somewhere and do something, right? Maybe you just go to your Facebook and communicate with people. Maybe you go to the telephone and communicate with someone. Or you may get in your vehicle or get in someone else's vehicle and go somewhere. Okay? So no matter what we're doing, no matter where we're going, we are to go therefore. All right? That may actually mean getting on an airplane, going to another country too. I don't know what it means individually in every one of our lives. Okay? It may be God's calling you to go as our men on the men's mission trip to Kentucky. It's only 4 hours away. It's not a real big plan. It's not a real big deal. If He's calling you to do that, then that's part of your go. Okay? I don't know what it is. For the ladies, whatever that go may be. Hopefully, through this men's mission trip, we're going to put together family mission trips out of this where our men are leading their families to do missions in the church and individually in everyday lives. Okay, so we've got the go. As we are going, we've got the therefore. Why is the therefore therefore? It's therefore the previous statement, all authority has been given to Jesus. So since all the authority has been given to Jesus, then we can go. You see, guys, this is really the big point. Now we got to know why we're going. Okay? Why we're going is to make disciples of all nations. And it includes preaching the gospel. It includes evangelism. But I'll be honest with you, I don't think evangelism and discipleship are these two totally separate things. I think evangelism is actually the first step of discipleship. Being a disciple is learning from Jesus, okay? And he even goes on to say, go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that's one of the first steps as a new believer is to be baptized. Why do we get baptized? Because He said so. That's why. As a believer, because He says to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and there's another part of it, teaching them to observe all things which I've commanded you. Okay? Teaching them, not just teaching them all things. You notice there was another word involved there, or another part of the phrase, teaching them to observe. Okay, what does it mean to observe something? We're going to observe the Lord's Supper today. So participate, right? Okay? So like if we come and we see the Lord's Supper, we could I think that's sometimes how we take that word, observe. We're watching it all happen from the sidelines. I've gone and observed football games before. Okay? So that's one way to take that word. But I don't think that's the way the word's being meant to be used there. I think it has to do with participating. Teaching them to participate, to actually put into practice in their lives all the things I've commanded. Okay? And then the last part of this, see, again, he has these are like the bookends to the command. All authority's been given him, so therefore you go. And then at the end, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Okay? And then whenever we get at Luke's understanding of the Acts of the early church, the Acts of the church, and you get into chapters 1, there's another view of the same basic time right before Jesus went back. And we look at verses 7 and 8, where Jesus spoke to the disciples from Luke's perspective. Do y'all remember what he said about that? He said, remain in Jerusalem until you've received power from on high. What's the power from on high he's talking about? Holy Spirit power. Okay? So, and he told them that, and then once they'd received the Holy Spirit, what were they going to do? They were going to be witnesses. Okay? You can go ahead and turn there if you guys want to. I'm just throwing this stuff out there to show you that I think it needs to be something that we don't just observe by seeing it. It needs to become part of who we are. Okay? So once you've received the Holy Spirit, he says, you shall be. Okay? That's an important understanding of how he words that. Okay? So we'll just start back up at verse 4. This is Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Okay, they're still asking for Israel to be restored. They just never could get their mind off of that. They kept thinking, Israel's got to be great here. We got to get our freedom from the Romans. That's why Jesus, you know, at first they said, come on in, Hosanna, Hosanna, King, save us now. And then next thing you know, they're screaming, crucify him, because he wasn't willing to just give them back their kingdom from the Romans. That wasn't what he came to do. Still asking for it. And he doesn't even try to answer that question. He just said, well, you don't need to know the times, but this is what you need to know. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons for which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Okay, guys, it's more than just reading the words and observing those words. We need to understand this wasn't just the plan for those guys. That was the plan for everybody who comes after him. Everybody who comes after them. You know, when those guys had received the Holy Spirit, you look in chapter 2, they did become witnesses for him. Okay? Had great danger to their lives. If you look, okay, this is the same town that had just gotten through crucifying Jesus 50 days before. Okay? All right, 50 some odd days before that, they had just crucified him because he claimed to be Messiah. He claimed to be God, and that upset them and made them angry. So now what does Peter stand up there and do? Right in front of the very same basic crowd of people, the same people who scream, crucify, crucify, and he stands up there and goes, this Jesus whom you crucified, whom you killed, he is both the one who was promised, and he is the risen one. He has risen from the dead. Now you should serve him. What happened? Says they were cut to the heart. 3,000 of them got saved that day. You see, they received the Holy Spirit, then they were witnesses. Our calling is not any different than that. I told you I was going to talk about a young lady that we saw at the conference yesterday. Her name was Sarah, and I'm just going to say Lou. It was L-I-U. They never did say her last name, so I never learned how to pronounce it, but she's a Chinese lady. And we actually saw a video about her probably a couple years ago for our Voice of the Martyrs Day of Prayer. But Sarah got saved. She was reluctant. Her mother came to be a believer. And then her sister was possessed by a demon. Her older sister was literally demon-possessed. I mean, she was doing crazy stuff, just outlandish stuff, and was impossible to handle. And they tried all these other gods, even included having Buddhas all over their house and all this stuff. But then the mother finally turned to a Christian person who had said, you know, you need to try Jesus. You need to ask Him to be the one to heal her. And so whenever God healed the lady, the mother became a firm believer in Jesus Christ. She saw the evidence and she believed it and she went forward. You know, this is a crazy thing. Sometimes the evidence comes forth and people try to explain it away too. Have you ever noticed that? Somebody gets healed, just like we experienced, you know, the testimony of healing today. You know, I know just because you see that don't mean that you're always going to give all the credit to Jesus as well, but I'm thankful we're giving the credit to Jesus. We believe she was healed, okay? There was a lady that at the conference who did the music. She's been healed of a lymphoma that was supposed to kill her within 3 months, and that's been 2.5 years ago, okay? She was healed. God still heals, and He still heals in an atmosphere where people are going to believe that it was Him. And you see, so like Sarah, she saw her sister get healed of this, but she still didn't really want to turn her life over. And so she was reluctant, and she kept arguing with her mother. Her mother would say, let's go to church, because her mother saw the miracle and she believed. Let's go to church. The whole family needs to go to church. Dad didn't want to go to church. He was too busy. Does any of this sound familiar? We see it happen in America all the time, right? Okay, well, keep in mind that in China, to go to one of their churches might just get you put in jail for 3 years. But, you know, so they may have a little more of a challenge than what we do sometimes. But anyway, Sarah kept saying, no, you know, whatever. No, you know what her mother kept doing? Going in the room and praying. Every time she'd find her mom was praying. And then she actually heard her mother praying a little bit out loud. She praying for her. And she's like, you know, eventually the Holy Spirit overcame in her life, and she went to a party at a family member's house. See, the house church has to kind of hide. So they call it a party. They're having a party at so-and-so's house. So then all the believers will go over there. Well, you get there, and there's no birthday cake. I wonder what they're having a party about. Well, they're having a secret meeting is what it is. So like, she went to this family member's house, and she didn't see any cake, no party supplies. And she's like, well, what's up? Maybe we're too late. Well, no, they were right on time, because whenever they went in the bedroom, all of the furniture had been removed, and there was a whole bunch of people sitting around in a group in there worshiping Jesus. So anyway, she goes in, and before you know it, the Holy Spirit came over her, began to lead her into a relationship with Jesus. You know, salvation is a work of the Holy Spirit. We pray, we witness, we are His instruments, but it's the Holy Spirit that's got to work in our heart before we can really be saved. So Sarah wound up staying for 3 days in this meeting till God had fully just overwhelmed her with the joy of the Lord. After convicting her of her sin, she knew she was condemned to hell if she did not have someone to save her. She turned her life over to Jesus, and then eventually through all of this, God called her to be a full-time evangelist. And thus, it may mean, you know, like going and preaching revivals in places and stuff. To her, it was a very biblical understanding of evangelist. It was go with nothing but the clothes on your back and an extra set of clothes. Go to the next village. Walk in there. See if there's a person of peace. Start knocking on doors. In a country that it's against the law to do this. She knows the automatic sentence for what she's doing is 3 years in prison, and yet she still did it. Why? I'll tell you why. She's filled with the Holy Spirit. The same reason why these guys did this in Acts chapter 2, the same reason why Sarah is doing it in China. Do you know 20,000 people come to belief in China every day? Do you know why? Because they're simply doing what they're told to do in the Great Commission. They're simply going, and they are simply trying to make disciples of all nations. They are simply talking to people about the Lord. Well, eventually the authorities did catch up with Sarah, and she is the sweetest, kindest. She even kind of joked. She said, She was just a cute little thing, and she is kind of just a cute little thing. She's like 4'11", okay? And so they put her in jail a couple times, and it wasn't real serious, but she just kept doing it. You see, the Holy Spirit's in you. You'll just keep doing it. Because, like, you got the joy of the Lord, and you just can't keep it to yourself. And eventually, they came and got her in the middle of the night while she's still in her pajamas, and they took her, and they beat her all night long. To the point, trying to force her to sign this agreement that she was going to denounce her Christian faith, that she was going to stop doing this. And in the lowest point of the night, after they had done many different things, and I'm not going to say them all, they had beat her feet so bad she was bleeding in her feet, and her feet were all swelled up, and they stuck shackles on her, and they stood and watched while she had to pace back and forth, okay? And she kept falling down because, I mean, she was so weak. She was hurting, and she was beginning to wonder, should I have just signed the paper? I mean, wouldn't Jesus forgive me? I could just sign the paper. They let me go. And then she started to be a little bit upset with God and say, why don't you just take my life? Take me to heaven now. And she looked down, and she noticed that there was a path worn back and forth in blood, and it was hers. And she said that she realized when Jesus carried the cross to Calvary, he probably left a path of blood. And she said, Lord, please forgive me because I want Jesus, but I don't want the cross. I think there's a big message in that for all of us. We want Jesus, but we don't want the cross. You see, when you have Jesus, there's a burden that comes along with it to share him. There's a burden of the Great Commission that comes along with it. And I'm with you. It's more than what I can handle. I know that. We can't do it on our own because I can't save anybody. But you see, the power literally comes from the position. So when she repented and she saw her doubt and she saw her desire to just rather die than carry out his command, she realized her power would come from her position with him. So she repented of her sin, and God restored her to a position. And you know, she served 3 years in her first term in prison. She came back out, and she kept doing the same thing. And she went back for another 3 years. She spent 6 years in prison. But you know what, guys? Even in prison, they're still making disciples in China. It's just a different place. Eventually, praise God, we have Christians in the United States, and George W. Bush is a big part of this rescue operation. He actually helps. You know, I know he's not our Savior, but I think he does know the Savior. And in Midland, Texas, where he went back to, do you know why you don't see George W. Bush at all the political events anymore? You know, he's not real politically active. His dad is more than he is. You'll see him every once in a while. It's because, guys, he's actually trying to live out his Christian faith now. I'm not being political here. I'm just telling you the truth. There's a guy by the name Bob Fu, Chinese gentleman that was rescued from China, and George W. Bush in Midland, Texas, and some of the other politicians that have some clout actually help rescue these people from China. And so eventually, Sarah got rescued through Bob Fu. She was brought into Midland, Texas, where this church accepts them into their church congregation and loves on them and helps restore them. And whenever she came, she experienced some stuff we're reading about in a book right now. But I'm just going to tell you something, guys. When you call Jesus, you call on him to be your Savior, he comes with the cross. You remember what he said? If anybody wants to follow me, if anybody wants to come after me, you pick up your cross and you follow me, right? So what's our cross? I think our cross is that burden to bear and the power that you're going to get to be able to finish this. Do you really think, you know, do I have what it takes to complete my calling? I'm going to tell you, the only way I do is whenever I realize the power comes from my position with Christ. I'm a child of the living God. He has sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in me. I can't do any of this on my own. In fact, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me. You see, that's living connected. Okay? He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. What can we do without Jesus?
Nothing.
Nothing. Not one good thing. Now, we can do something. I get that. We can do something for ourselves, or we can do something to try to fill that emptiness or whatever. But you see people trying that. How far do they really get? Not very far. There's an emptiness inside our soul that only God can fill, and we've got to live with Him. Even after we get saved, people can find themselves in futility because they're not doing what God has called them to do. And the way we do it is to let that power flow out of that position and stay connected. We're going to go through a couple more scriptures here, and I'm just going to shoot through them real quick. So if you want to follow along, you got the paper in your hand, it's going to be up on here. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Can I get an amen to that? Are you part of the household of God today? Then I think we need to be excited about it, guys. You're fellow citizens. You have a citizenship in heaven. Jesus promised us in chapter 14 of John, He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be with me also. If that were not true, I would have told you. And they said, we don't know where you're going. We don't know the way. And He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Guys, whenever you come to Christ, you're a fellow citizen with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Say, praise the Lord for them. Amen? Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Remember, we read this from a totally different book last week. You see, Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus is the one who sets the very first stone of that foundation, and everything is built off of Him and above Him. He is the one holding up the entire structure. Verse 21, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Isn't that a beautiful thing? God don't dwell just in this building. He dwells in us. And whenever we're brought together and we're made into this holy structure, He's glorified. He is magnified. You know what magnified? It made bigger. You see, whenever a whole bunch of us get together that have the Holy Spirit in us, God is literally magnified in that. He's going to do great things then. Guys, this is where the power comes from to complete our calling. We got to stick together. We got to have that koinonia. That's what our whole associational meeting was about. Koinonia, about fellowship in the gospel, about association in the gospel, about being connected in that. Okay? And that's where the power comes from. Romans chapter 8, verses 8 through 11. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Can I get an amen to that? Those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. Can I get an amen to that? Brothers and sisters, beloved in the Lord, you got to know the Holy Spirit lives in you before you can know you're going to heaven. If you don't know the Holy Spirit lives in you, there's a real simple recipe. You need to repent of your sins and turn your life over to Jesus Christ today. Amen. I'm just going to tell you, if I thought the Holy Spirit didn't live in me, I'd be the first one at this altar to ask Jesus to forgive me and to allow me in. But guys, you can know that the Holy Spirit lives in you, okay? You can know it. He's not going to make you do weird stuff either, okay? There's a false teaching out there that makes us afraid to talk about the Holy Spirit living in me because He's going to make me do weird stuff that I don't understand. No! You see, everywhere we look in the Scripture, whenever the Holy Spirit comes upon people, He makes them do something that's really sensible. It goes along with your calling. It goes along with the command. It's to be bold in your proclamation of the gospel. Every time. They spoke boldly. And yes, they spoke in tongues. But not for misunderstanding, for understanding. To promote the gospel. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Amen? But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Where does the power come from? Same power that rose Jesus from the dead. Amen? That's the same power that lives in every one of His believers. Every one of His believers. Did you hear me? Every, biblically, every one of His believers has that power living in you. And if you don't have that power living in you, then you're not a true believer and you need to become one. It's just that simple. You see, I've had people, many people come to me, worried, concerned. How can I know that I'm saved? I run into people all the time, even out in public. No one can really know, they'll tell me. Guys, I'm going to tell you, you can too. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And He don't move in secretly. Okay? All right? The day Jesus came, the Holy Spirit came to live in me, Jesus come live in my heart. Yes, those are synonymous terms, okay? Because God is one. I just want you to understand something, guys. The day that happened, I knew something changed. Because, like, He helped me to begin to actually love people. You know what I'm saying? Like, actually love people. It comes with a burden. It comes with a price. Sometimes I've begrudged that and said, man, why couldn't I just go back? Whenever I just didn't care, because it hurts so bad to care. Guys, but that's the sign. It's a good thing. It's a sign that God answers your prayers. It's a sign. You know, He doesn't answer everybody's prayers the same. Did you know that? I know we got a big teaching in the church. Somebody will come to a Spirit-led person, and they'll say, here, I want you to pray for me. And they'll say, you know, they'll think like, it's almost like the Catholic Church going to the priest because he's got a better line. We'll say, oh, no, no, God listens to everybody the same. Well, actually, the Bible says those who are His, He listens to. Those who pray through Jesus, He listens to. Now, He does hear the prayer of repentance and of salvation from anybody. Don't get me wrong. But I'm going to tell you, He does listen to the prayer differently from one of His children. And so that's because the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in that believer. And so what I want you to ask for, I want you to ask to really see the signs of the Holy Spirit living in your life. Okay? Overcoming sin is another one. Doesn't mean we become perfect. I wish it did. And we're not sinless, but we should sin less. It needs to be a theme in our life. You see, because the Holy Spirit lives in me. He changes things. The game changes as soon as He moves in. I'm no longer just my own. I'm His. I'm like a glove that His hand is in now. That's where we need to be. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Say praise the Lord. He gives you the ability to do this. Praise the Lord. He gives us the ability. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Is it a joy for you to finish this race well? I want it to be. Is it a joy for you to see other people come to belief in Jesus because of what He does through you? That's what He wants. And you'll do it. You know why Sarah kept witnessing? Because of the joy that was set before her. It was a joy. You know why 20,000 people are coming to Christ every day in China in a place where it's illegal to have house churches? Because of the joy that is set before them. They understand it's their responsibility to let the Holy Spirit flow through them to see many come to Christ. I want you to do it for the joy. Jesus did it for the joy. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy 2, 4 through 6, coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He who believes in Him will by no means put to shame. He is elect, and if you're in Him, you are elect as well. You are the ones God has elected to carry out the Great Commission as well. I want you guys to just reflect this morning as we're getting ready to observe the Lord's Supper. And that's not just watch. We're going to participate, right? Those who are truly blood-bought believers in Jesus Christ. Have you turned your life over to Christ? Do you belong to Him? Is He yours? Is He your Savior? If He is, And we offer for you to participate with us today in the Lord's Supper. If he's not, and you realize it, you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you. It's not a joy to you to try to serve God. The altar is here. This is the coolest part of the whole message. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me, I will by no means cast him away. I will not turn him away. That's a promise. That's a good promise. And God never breaks a promise. So I really want to pray for us right now. This is going to be our time of invitation, our time to ask God, what would you have me do at this moment in time? Whatever he calls you to do. It could be a lot of different things. It could be recommit your life. It could be give your life to him for the first time. Maybe you're not sure and you just need to make sure of it. You need to nail it down. It's here. The altar's here. Jesus is here. He hears your prayers. He takes them straight to the throne, straight to the Father. Maybe a sin you need to repent of. It may be joining the church. Whatever he calls us to do, I would suggest that the right answer is yes. So let's pray. Dear Father, we invite you to point out to us through the Holy Spirit whatever area of our life may not be in total surrender to you. God, please show us so that we can repent and turn our life over to you. Lord, I believe that there may be some among us today that are not truly saved. They're not sure that the Holy Spirit lives in them. They're not sure that they really are yours. They're not sure that they will be in heaven someday. Lord, I pray that before they leave here, they can be sure. Because I'm sure of one thing. If we're not going to heaven, we're going to end up in hell for sure. There's only two choices. And Lord, beyond that, we're either a child of God or we're not. There's no in between. God don't have grandchildren. He's only got children. So Lord, the way for us to become a child of God, we know, is to confess our sins, repent of them, turn our life over to Jesus. Do we believe Jesus died on the cross for our sins? Do we believe he was risen from the dead on the third day? Do we believe he's at the right hand of the Father? If the answer to all those is yes, then I see no reason why we should not surrender our life to you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. If you'd all stand, please.
Get this out of your way.
Have you failed in your plan of your storm-tossed life? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Are you weary and worn from his toil and strife? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. He'll keep to the end. He's your dearest friend. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Are you walking alone through the shadows dim? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Christ will comfort your heart. Put your trust in him. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. He will keep to the end. He's your dearest friend. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Would you follow the will of the risen Lord? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Would you live in the light of his blessed word? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. He will keep to the end. He's your dearest friend. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Is your soul burdened down With this load of sin, place your hand in the nail-carved hand. Throw your heart open wide, let the Savior in. Place your hand in the nail-carved hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. He will keep to the end. He's your dearest friend. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Have you failed in your plan of the storm of life? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Are you weary and worn from his toil and strife? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. He will keep to the end. He's your dearest friend. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand.
Rachel came forward today a little bit ago. Rachel surrendered her heart to Jesus, and she was feeling convicted over her sin, and she's a little shy about being up here, but she did. I told her that, and she asked me about baptism, and I told her that as long as she understood that baptism wasn't what saved her, and that it was an act of obedience to Jesus, and she could clearly articulate to me, so I think that she definitely understands that if she's saved because of her faith, not because of any work that she does. But that she does want to be baptized, and so I told her whenever she was brave enough to come up here and stand before you guys, that I would ask the church if it would be okay for her to be baptized in this church. And I believe that young ones can understand. And sometimes... later on, you know, they want to reconfirm it, and I don't think we're hurting them by letting them move on whatever faith they've been given today. And so, Rachel, do you love Jesus? Do you want to be baptized? So is it the will of the church that... All right. And all those in favor, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Hopefully there's none that are opposed to that, but I will continue to counsel her until we know that the time is right, that she would want to be baptized. And so, praise the Lord. God bless you, Rachel. And so, you want to go back and sit with your mama? All right. All right. And the Pagia family came up today as well. And so, this is Bobby and Chrissy Pagia and Bea and Arlie. And they have come. They've been members over at Potosi Southern for some time and serving there, and they feel like God is moving them here. And so they came forward and asked for an extension of our hand of membership into their lives as well, that they want to become church members here. And also, during the revival time, Arlie had realized that she really needed to fully turn her life over to Jesus. And so she prayed and asked God to forgive her of her sins. She had been previously baptized as a younger child, but she feels like right now is whenever she's really fully submitted her heart to Jesus. And so she wants to be baptized as well as coming to join the church in membership. And so I part of it will be just a transfer of letter from Potosi Southern. And so I'm very thankful that God is leading them. And we can see how God's been leading them every step of the way. And so they want to come and join and be a part of what God's doing here at Cadet. And seeking God on how God can use them here. And so I'm really excited. I've been pastor here for 9 years, and I haven't had a whole lot of people that have come to me and said, we want to know how God can use us as members of this church. And so I'm really excited about how God has brought them. And so, could we have a motion to receive them as well? All right, seconds all over place. And all those in favor, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Well, we want to praise the Lord. Let's give God a hand for what he's doing in our church right now. And I can tell you that with each of these, I have already counseled with them, is the reason why we would just quickly receive them. I do talk to people. I want to reassure you, that is the pastor, we do talk to people before we allow them to join the church. And in fact, I want to say something about the Pages as well, if I could indulge for just one more second. They have actually taken a copy of our church constitution and our, you know, and all the documents of the church and our church covenant, and they've looked over those, and they desire to actually come and be a part of what God's doing in this church. They are willingly desiring to, you know, to go through a discipleship thing with their children so that they can know, you know, this is what we're really about. And I think that's a wonderful model and example as well for all new members of the church. And I've always been hesitant to go, we're going to have a requirement, because honestly, I think it's something we need to be willing to do voluntarily, but I think it's a very good thing. So if any others that are here and part of this church want to go through any kind of discipleship material with me, you know I have made the offer before, and I will come to you once a week in your progress with that. And we have others that will do that as well, as they are trained and able. But we want everybody to be discipled in this church so we can be disciple makers. Okay? It's not just a few people's thing. So I want to praise God, and I want to pray for you guys while we have you up here if we can. Dear Heavenly Father, just want to lift up the Pagia family to you. And Lord, I know even with this accident with their older daughter and just different things like that, Lord, I know that those are challenges in their lives, tests. I pray that it would all have a greater outworking of righteousness in their lives. And God, as they follow you in faith and they just do what you're calling them to do, Lord, I pray that you would bring about a greater harvest of righteousness in their family as well. Lord, bless them. They have been seeking you for a good while now about how you would use them, where you would lead them. And Lord, we are so thankful that they've come to be a part of our church family here. And we really do feel that just that family connection with them. Lord, we also want to pray for our sister church at Potosi Southern as well. And God, it's nothing that we would ever desire to take away from them. And so we want to pray that you would strengthen them. And if you move people, it's because you're going to replace them and you're going to do a greater work there too. And so we just want to be obedient. So Lord, I thank you for this family. I thank you for Arlie coming to know you fully as her Lord and Savior, submitting herself to you. We look forward to the baptism. We pray that their whole family will come to be a part of it. And Lord, that you would just bring more into your kingdom through this and through everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. We praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for you guys. God bless you, Bobby. Appreciate you. We're going to have our time of the Lord's Supper now. God bless you. And so afterwards, I'd like for everybody to have a chance to get to shake their hands and say how happy we are for them to be a part of our family. You know, as we accept these church members, I also want to say we're agreeing to be one in that, okay? It's called koinonia, fellowship in the gospel. And so we're agreeing with them that we're going to stay connected to them. We're going to try to help them as we do this thing of life, right? And so the Lord's really moving. I know we're probably getting a little past our time, but we're still going to do the Lord's Supper. Amen? And this is just the way God works sometimes. He don't always work on our timetable. And so we're going to let him continue to his good work. All right. So could I have those who are going to serve come on up?